The Business of Marketing podcast is brought to you by Path 7 in partnership with Advertising Week. Path 7 helps brands scale partner marketing with seamless content distribution, real-time lead data, and consistent brand experiences. Powered by partners, built for performance.
Welcome to the Business of Marketing podcast, recorded live for Advertising Week Europe. Today, I've got the absolute pleasure of welcoming Kat Botterbol, Business Development Director at Secret Cinema. Hi, Kat. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Dom. Thanks for having me.
For those unfamiliar with Secret Cinema, how would you describe what you create, not just as entertainment, but perhaps as a brand experience?
So we create what we call immersive storytelling experiences. So live events, where I guess everything about that event is designed to immerse the audience member into the story that we're trying to tell. We've been going for 17 years, as I said earlier, and we have historically always worked with movies, with TV shows, and brought those to life IRL in a way that people can step into them, where they can have a role within that story world. And now we're working with brands to do that for them, where a lot of the same rules still apply. We're still creating events where people can step into another world. We're still transporting them to other places. I guess the stories that we're often telling are quite different for the brand work that we do. And I guess the reasons often why we're doing it may be different. But it's all still very much about experiential storytelling and giving people a role and a reason to be in the world when they get to the event.
So I've noted that you work with brands like Haagen-Dazs, Bombay Sapphire, Virgin Media. So what makes Secret Cinema an especially attractive canvas for advertisers such as those?
Yeah, so those brands we've worked with in the last few years to partner of our live experience, ticketed experiences. So we'll work with partners, brands as partners, to bring them into our experiences very authentically into the worlds that we're creating. The value that brands get from working with us, we always say is about creating, well, two things. Firstly, about, existing in a place where the audiences love. So existing, the experiences we create are very much fan experiences. So the people that will come to our ticketed shows will always most often be big fans of that film or big fans of that TV show. And as a brand, you get to then exist in that world, which ultimately helps people to see your brand as being far more relevant for them, and also help to create a much deeper emotional connection as well.
So that enables you to, let me think about this, immerse the brand within the experience, but without compromising the story for that particular audience or their immersion within that particular event.
Exactly. When it comes to partnering with brands in our ticketed experiences, we're very particular about making sure that brand is really authentically represented in that environment. So an example could be in our Stranger Things experience, we had Coca-Cola, for example, as a brand that existed within that experience. So we kind of thought, we've created the Starcourt Mall. From the 80s. So what would be in the Starcourt Mall? Vending machines. So we had Coca-Cola vending machines with kind of 80s Coca-Cola branding and 80s Coca-Cola branded cans. And then we had this amazing sort of magical theatrical moment where 11 kind of uses her powers to get these Coke cans to fly out of the vending machine, like, into her hand. So what an amazing moment for a brand to be part of, you know?
So as part of that then, do you believe that brands are perhaps looking beyond traditional media buys and more towards deeper emotional connections? such as the ones that you're describing?
I think brands, I mean, it's a must. We always talk about, you know, we are bombarded with brand messages and day in, day out. In fact, we've probably both forgotten about 50 already that you've seen today. You know, it's a really interesting time where not only are we bombarded by messages, bombarded by communications, but we're also living through, I guess, a time where, you know, budgets are being cut, money's tight for consumers as well as for brands. So I think building an emotional connection is like an absolute must for any brand. And if you're not thinking about that, then, you know, you should be.
And then in terms of audience insight and behavior, your audiences often dress up, interact, they live in worlds that you build. What does that tell us about modern audiences and what they want from entertainment and marketing?
I think, you know, we've recently actually done a really interesting piece of audience research. So last year we interviewed 1,500 live entertainment goers on to see what is it that motivates them to come to experiences like ours, but also, you know, other experiences like day festivals, live music, live sports, escape rooms, like anything really that, you know, is live that you buy a ticket for. And what it was really interesting what came out as the kind of key motivators. It wasn't about like bragging rights. It wasn't about wanting to, which maybe some marketers might want to hear. They might want to hear that it's about bragging rights. It's about filming it and you're sharing it with your friends. It really wasn't about that. It was about three really clear things that came out top. Firstly, 80% of the people we interviewed said they wanted to be awestruck. 80% of people said they wanted to connect to other people. And 76% of people said they wanted to connect to themselves. So what we took from that is that people are really like motivated to attend these experiences for connection, which, you know, I think for us was like a really clear and powerful statistic for us now. I'm doing all of our brand work through Studio Secret Cinema to be able to really kind of back up why the power of live events and why brands really should be investing in them now.
I guess to a certain extent, you're touching on the idea of cultural capital, or that's how I'd like to describe it, brand relevance. You know, you talk to the, you know, hey, you could look at Back to the Future. I know you guys did that. You've talked to a number of other shows that you've incorporated, the Coca-Cola aspects and so on. And those brands are obviously part of our culture as well. It's how things have developed. Do you think that immersive experiences like Secret Cinema now hold more cultural capital than traditional media channels? And what does that mean for how brands need to show up?
That is a complex question. I think that when we are also time poor and we are all, yeah, like living in this world where, you know, spending more and more time on our computers, on our phones, that connection and cultural connections are becoming more and more powerful. I always talk about how, you know, the more you mediate your life digitally, the more kind of like luxury and premium just meeting someone face-to-face for a drink or a coffee becomes, right? Or having a face-to-face conversation. Which I think is like a really interesting dynamic because a lot of the media landscape, I guess, the majority of spend is on digital channels. So I think it's quite an interesting parallel when you think about that just from your own personal life, you know, how amazing and how special like meeting someone face to face these days for a meeting or for a drink is, whether it's professionally or socially. Imagine that as a brand, you know, you're communicating to people and spending most of your money on digital channels. Imagine like the power and how luxurious and how premium that will feel. If you sort of show up face to face with a consumer, and that's like the bit that I guess I always go back to. And that is something I think that's just going to gain in power as we just like the more technology, the more tools,
sure.
You know, the more digitally we run our lives.
Interesting you touched on the digital aspect as well. Clearly that, you know, there's multiple channels that people will market through. You know, there are channels emerging every day on a daily or certainly on an annual basis. Media is much more fragmented now. Do you find that the advertisers, the marketing partners, the brand partners who come to you and you're working with are very much working in an integrated sense?
They are, yeah. So often when we're working with brands, our event, we talk about them sometimes as content engines. So these are the events that we're creating for brands through our creative experience agency studio. The event often we talk about as like a content engine, and it very much will sit at the heart of an integrated campaign, of which often earned media and publicity is like a big part, but also paid media, content. We worked actually on a project last summer in partnership with Have Us Play for EE that was a really great example of this, actually, where we created a sort of 1 hour original circus experience. It's a bit bonkers when I describe it like that, but for EE Home, and it was all about promoting EE Home broadband products and promoting them to a family audience. And that experience, you know, we had 1,500 people come to that experience, but we also filmed it and created a 30-minute piece of essentially evergreen entertainment content, branded entertainment content that EE now utilize and sort of promote through the summer holidays, through the half-term holidays, as a kind of free piece of family entertainment for families at a time when they know families are looking for lots of things to entertain their kids because they're at home. And I think that is a really great example of how, you know, the experience piece can be at the heart, and done well, that can be really authentic piece of credible culture, back to your last question, and cultural entertainment.
Sure.
And then off the back of that, I think, how you kind of sweat that, you know, through lots of digital channels can really, you know, it can be really powerful for a brand.
And as part of that, do you collect and share any forms of audience engagement metrics with brand partners?
It kind of varies depending on the project. I think experiences can be used as really powerful tools for a number of things, although I think they're, some of the more regular metrics that we get measured on will be on like social buzz and PR earned media. So like, what was the reach, the opportunities to see of the content that came off the back of that campaign? But other metrics, which I think experiences are really powerful at helping to move the needle, which we often get briefed around, are brand relevancy. So is this a brand that feels like it understands me as a person? Is this a brand for me? And I think experiences and events can be a really powerful way, especially immersive ones, of like moving that needle you know, positively. And then also driving perception change or driving action. And we've got this amazing statistic from that research that we did where 63% of people that we interviewed who'd come to a secret cinema show said that they'd gone and bought a brand after seeing it at one of our experiences, which I feel like I'm yet, you know, that is a big number, that 63, it wasn't about propensities purchase, that was they genuinely went and purchased. So I think in terms of like really strong drives to action, events and experiences we know can be very powerful tools to do that.
And it sounds to me that a part of that is around sentiment as well.
Yeah.
And increasing the sentiment and the, I guess, brand love, as it were.
Exactly.
The audience.
Yeah, so like 100%. So making people care about your brand, essentially. I think experiences and events are probably the best way to do that, yeah, beyond just having a brilliant product.
And I'm going to make an assumption as part of doing that, that the brand also gains from a, I'm going to call it an uplift in earned media, i.e. people who are at your event, who are immersed, resharing and creating content in their own right.
They do. Although I will say that Secret Cinema has historically forced people to put their phones away, actually.
Okay.
So while that's at our own ticketed events,
yep,
obviously when we're working with brands, often what we'll do is we'll build into the event or the experience places that are, you know, really like brilliant spots to get your phone out and to make content and to sort of collaboratively create with the event or the experience. But yeah, for our own events, historically, we've got people to put their phones away, which actually, back to my, parroting of those statistics earlier about why people are motivated to come to these kinds of experiences, it's about connection. And questionably, can you truly connect with yourself and with others at a live event when you are filming it or like when you're actually just staring at your phone? It's an interesting trend that we've started to see in music, for example. I think Chris Martin from Coldplay, very famously at Glastonbury, got everyone to put their phones away for one song, not last year, year before. And I remember watching that and thinking, wow, that is a moment, hey? And like, how long is it going to be till he and others stand up and say, actually, no phones allowed into this gig? I know in like Clubland, another part of culture where phones, famously, a lot of the big clubs in Berlin are very anti-phones, and they make you put stickers over the cameras. So yeah, it's a really interesting area, I think, of thinking about like connection and the value of connection versus the value of earned media, which I don't have an answer for, but...
We've got to be there in the first person or you can't be immersed, right?
Exactly.
And you can't, your window onto the event can't be the scraped.
Yeah. I think one of the techniques that we'll often use for our brand events is working with like really valued and quality content creators. And so the general public or the consumers that come to an event, you know, we're not relying on them, you know, to spread the word, but we're relying on essentially professionals to come and spread the word. So if you really think about like curating your audience and making sure that you've got the right quality content creators that come along, you know, they will do that earned media piece for you, which actually means that maybe your consumers that come can actually truly connect with the event and the experience and live in the moment.
Brunel, in terms of trends that are shaping experiential advertising, are you seeing more interest from specific industries such as tech, kind of fashion, entertainment as an example, where people are looking to collaborate with you?
Yeah, I think to entertainment, obviously, is a big one, and it's our heartland. It's really an industry that we know super well, as we've been working with like some of the world's most valuable entertainment brands, IPs, over the last 17 years. The entertainment sector, I think we have a lot of expertise that's really relevant for them. So we're seeing a lot of interest from them. And then tech and telco, I think, are the two other interesting sectors, again, that we're seeing interest from. And I always, I think so many products in the world of tech and telcos are ephemeral. They're kind of like hidden behind screen. The product is hidden behind a screen. Or the thing that you're selling is, a subscription. I always say it's a bit like air. You know, it sort of doesn't have any tangible physicality. And I think events and experiences are super interesting for those kinds of brands and products, because it does give you, it allows consumers to, I guess, see your brand, to touch your brand, kind of cements it a bit more in reality, helps people to be able to trust it. So I think that's also probably why we're seeing a lot of interest in that sector too.
So I guess there's also a crossover between culture and commerce.
Yeah.
Yeah, and a trade-off, I think, probably to a certain extent as well. So, you know, some would say secret cinema sits at an intersection of fandom and branded entertainment. How do you balance cultural relevance with commercial outcomes?
Well, that is the balance. This is like my favorite topic to talk about Midnight. Oh, going to the pub, I'll be honest. I think Andy Warhol famously said, art is the best kind of business. I think that was the quote, which is a quote that I love. He was the forefather, wasn't he, of the melding of culture and commerce together. Personally, I feel it's like something we've talked about for years. I think that the two things are inextricably, you know, they're woven together. You have to, if you want to make your art, you've got to understand the business behind it. I always see business as like actually, and commerce as being an amazing facilitator of some of the most powerful pieces of creativity. Like the two, I feel like it's impossible to take them apart. But yeah, I'll be honest, it's a topic that, you know, we are constantly debating. And I personally am a massive believer in the two pushing each other to make better quality creative endeavors. I haven't really answered your question.
No, I think you have. I mean, the other part of Andy Warhol was 15 minutes of fame, right?
Yeah, of course, of course.
And you're providing that for the, you know, for the individuals that are there.
Exactly.
They're part of the experience. They're living and they're breathing it.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I'm a massive fan of like this idea of like high-low. Like I love a bit of lowbrow, creativity. I love a bit of highbrow creativity. I love like flipping between the two. I think a lot of super commercial creativity often gets lumped in this kind of lowbrow space, which I disagree with. And I think there's a time and a place for very highbrow creativity, which often maybe isn't always the most commercial. And I guess I love the tension between the two. And because I think that, makes for more interesting creativity, whatever the creative, whatever the genre we're in.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And we've also just touched on something else that was in my mind then, the idea of longevity and legacy. Mm. So, you know, beyond the pop-up, beyond the initial experience, how do you help brands think about the afterlife of an experience? And what, more importantly, lives on in the minds of the audiences?
Memory. So everything, any event, any experience that any brand ever invests any money into, your goal should be to make that experience unforgettable. Otherwise, why are you spending the money? And the way to make something unforgettable is to really understand the emotional journey that you're taking people on and instigate some kind of emotional change in them. And I think that's what is a skill that at Secret Cinema we've honed over the years, and why our ticketed experiences have been so popular and left such a huge impression in people's minds. I would say and people's memories are interesting, right? Because they are essentially, your memories are stories.
Yes.
So I think, you know, it goes right back, doesn't it, to the heart of like, what our industry is about, essentially, which is storytelling. And you've got to make sure that you're crafting and telling those stories, the right stories, because that, you know, people will remember them. So, I'd say make sure what you're doing is unforgettable, instigate that emotional change in people, and make sure that the story that you're telling them is the right story to remember. And then you'll live forever in someone's mind.
Yeah. Well, it's about being remarkable, isn't
yeah.
it? You
know, yeah, exactly.
You want those individuals to leave, turn around to their friends, individuals, to others.
Yeah.
And tell the story.
Exactly. And tell your story. Yeah, that's very powerful. But yeah, and then obviously, I feel like content is the first place that people will often go to when they're thinking about, like, oh, I'm going to invest money in this event. How am I going to make this live on? I spoke about that EE project earlier, and we did make this brilliant piece of evergreen branded content that, you know, is something, and it's a tool that EE will be able to use and is using still to this day. But yeah, I think the content obviously is one way to do it, but really what you want to live on, you really want to live on in people's memories. I think that's the goal.
Leads me to maybe a couple of last questions. So in my mind, there's a shift from brands speaking at audiences. And we've seen that. I think people have learned that from social media. You can't just go out there and shout. And that's how we used to gain attention in the past. To the idea of brands inviting audiences in with them. What have you learned about audience psychology through immersion that marketers perhaps overlook in campaign planning?
Interesting question. I think that people do want to participate. And, you know, an interesting fact, which for people who've been to our experiences, they may not believe this, but, you know, it looks like we get really high levels of participation at our events, whether it's our ticketed events or whether it's a brand event, we get very high levels of participation. And that comes from us truly understanding audiences and like how they might want to participate. And I think a mistake that maybe brands might or something they might not think about sometimes is that participation is not like a one-size-fits-all thing. And so one person's idea of participation might just be, you know, sitting a few rows closer to the front of the stage. But for them, you know, that's them stepping outside their comfort zone and being more part of an event. And to others, it might be getting up on the stage and singing a song, which obviously for others, that might be the idea of hell on earth. So the subtleties around participation and the idea that, yeah, it's not one size fits all and that everyone's idea of participation is completely different, I think is something that when brands and marketers are thinking about, yeah, I really want people to come in and collaborate or participate with the brand, they just need to remember, like, you've got to be considerate of, like, all of the different comfort levels that people have when it comes to participation. And an interesting fact that probably, like, really 90% of people, you know, that come to maybe one of our events and experiences, if you ask them before, do you want to interact with a performer at this experience? They'll probably say no. But we definitely get more than 10% of the audience interacting with performers when they come. Yeah. And that is because we're very smart at crafting in lots and lots and lots and lots of different ways for people to kind of inch themselves forwards in terms of their comfort levels. So, yeah.
Fantastic. And hey, look, I'm just going to wrap up a last one. We always ask this question, but a younger person looking to get into marketing, advertising, perhaps experiential type business, cinema, is there any advice that you would give a younger person at this point in time?
Younger than me? Yeah, so my big piece of advice, I'm going to say two things very much from my own experience. Firstly, keep your head up. Spend as little time as possible in your house or your flat. just be out and about meeting people, going to events, going to things that you're really passionate about, and with your head up and looking people in the eye and chatting to people and just finding out about what they do, and then, you know, having something to say about what you're passionate about. It sounds basic, but, you know, sitting in your room and just emailing people and watching content online is not, for me, the way that you're going to sort of find your path.
Sure.
So that was my first piece of advice. And then, yeah, secondly, do I have a second one? I did. Oh, no, where's it gone? Yes. You can be creative in any job that you get. You don't need the word creative in the job title, and the company that you work for doesn't have to be the most creative company that you've ever had. Like, any job, you can bring creativity to any job role at any company. And I really believe in that. And I really, really believe if you're a creative person trying to get into the creative industries, don't think that the job that you're doing right now that's not, you know, isn't creative, because, yeah, you bring the creativity into whatever role, which I think is a sort of different way of looking at it, and something that I learned through doing loads of rubbish jobs, to be honest, when I was younger. But
yeah, I totally agree. And I think some people get worried. They might be very creative as individuals, and they look and go, oh, I'm going into the corporate world. Needs to dial down the creativity.
Yeah.
Yeah, whereas actually that's a key superpower, isn't it?
Yeah, 100%. So I always say in my role that sometimes I'll be sat in a room with very corporate people, and in that environment, I'll be the most creative person in the room. And then sometimes I'm sat in a room with like some extremely creative people where maybe it's my job to then be the most corporate person in the room. But my job title does not sound very creative. I'll have to say business development director, but my role is very creative. And I guess I bring that to the role.
Absolutely. And the language that you use as well, the way that you describe things, the way that you're presenting what you do, it's how you communicate to the brands and businesses.
Exactly. Yeah.
Look, thanks, Kat. You've been a tremendous guest. I've really enjoyed having you on the show. And hey, look, I hope you enjoy the rest of Advertising Week Europe.
Thanks so much, John.
You're welcome. Cheers.
Bye.
Bye.
The Business of Marketing podcast was brought to you by Path 7, powered by partners, built for performance.